Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. For dust you are, and to dust you shall. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
For dust you are, and to dust you shall return.
We have been consumed by your anger,
and by your wrath we are terrified.
You have set our iniquities before you,
our secret sins in the light of your countenance.
For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may gain
heart of wisdom.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we humbly beseech you to set your passion, cross, and death between your judgment and our souls, now and in the hour of death. Give us mercy and grace, and grant your church comfort and peace, that at length we shall enjoy everlasting life and glory. For with the Father and the Holy Spirit, you reign, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. Tonight, the scripture reading of our Lord's Passion history is recorded for us in the first 16 verses of chapter 26 of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not always have. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Here ends our reading. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, this evening we focus on the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and the great depths that he went for our salvation. We thank and praise you for the gift of the forgiveness of sins that we have in his name and the hope of everlasting life. We pray tonight that you would work in our hearts through your word to give us true repentance of our sins and to bring us once again the marvelous comfort and balm and healing that we have in the wounds of our Savior. We pray this all in his saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's grace, his kindness, and compassion are yours to be found alone in that Redeemer. Amen. Our text for tonight is taken from the words of David in Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. Let us rise to hear these words in Jesus' name. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. I have a friend who lives in Chicago who years ago took me to a theater known as Second City Theater, and it's kind of a comedy club. And there was a play that was put on that night. And part of the play was there were about 12 actors that came out, and they acted as though they were at kind of a dinner party and a party talking to each other, moving around the room, heard different little conversations. And all of a sudden, the light became very intensely red. The whole mood of the room changed in the stage. And suddenly, all of these actors began apparently trying to act out how they really felt inside toward the people they were talking to, and started to curse at them and get angry with them and have very evil thoughts and so on that were going on. And then the light would go back to white and everything was fine and they'd go back to their normal lives. And then all of a sudden it would switch again, and they did this about 4 or 5 times, and sad to say, it got raunchier each time. But it was kind of an interesting depiction of our sinful human nature. It's kind of an interesting depiction about how we are really kind of like as human beings. That we're able to sort of hide and shield sometimes how we're really thinking down inside, and maybe things we'd really like to say. And yet, there's something in us that kind of overrides that and causes us to sort of shield each other from having to hear that and see that. The text in front of us, David uses a word that in the Hebrew is really a word to describe something that is putrid and corrupt. The old King James translated it as guile. It's a word we don't use very much anymore. The newer King James translates it as deceit. And it means to cover up something in such a way that you really have some evil inside of you, and yet you don't maybe let that be known and let that be out. The French used the word guile to talk about things that were cunning and deceptive. It's interesting that we sort of, without thinking about it, teach this to our children. Sometimes our children, when they're real little, are real honest. And they'll maybe make a comment about somebody's weight or something else, real open and honest about something. And we have to say to them, you don't talk like that. You can't let people know the real honest thoughts that you're having about them or their body or whatever it is. You have to kind of keep this in and hold this in. And so as we grow up, I know for myself, I got really good at holding that back. I got really good at holding back sometimes the things I'm really thinking inside. Not really saying to people maybe thoughts that I'm having. Not really expressing to people some of the things that are going on in my head and in my mind and in my heart, inside of my emotions. So we through practice at this, as we grow up, we get really good at this. We get really good at being deceptive, in a sense, at hiding what's really going on inside of us from the people that are around us. And we know inside that we want to make sure that the people we're talking to have a really good impression of us. So we can't let them hear the real truth. We can't let them know the kinds of thoughts that are running through our head. We want people to have a good feeling and impression about us, and so we try to protect that as best as we can. And really, we all do this, and we should be grateful that we're not that open and honest. We would just destroy each other. We would destroy each other's feelings. We should be happy that there isn't that type of complete transparency with our fellow human beings. Because there are times when you maybe really want to say something and you have to hold back. Maybe you're harboring some anger or animosity towards someone. Maybe you're jealous of something that they have that you don't have, and you'd really like to say something, but you gotta play nice. Maybe there's a point where you really want to be judgmental towards somebody, and yet you realize that that's not going to go very well. But maybe you can't wait to go tell somebody else something that you've just discovered. But we bite our tongues, and we keep ourselves from saying too much. And it's interesting, even the people that know you best, even your parents or your spouse or your roommate or best friend or girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, we can still shield the honest feelings and thoughts that we can have inside sometimes away from them. Just think what it would be like if there really was complete open transparency with everybody, if there was absolute honesty with our thoughts to people. Just think how dramatically your life might change. Just think how many people would have relationships break up, how many friendships would be destroyed, how many people might even end up in trouble with the law. Is it possible you wouldn't be working where you're working? How many people in your life might just leave you, leave me? It's interesting to think that God has that type of transparent ability to look down inside of us and to see us. Remember the story of Jesus when the paralyzed man was dropped into the room because the room was so crowded, and some of the people began thinking, who is this that thinks he can forgive sins? And remember, it says that Jesus, reading their thoughts, began to talk to them. Think of that, reading their thoughts. The same King David that writes these words says this in Psalm 139. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. And the problem we face is this. Unlike all of the people we try to shield from our real sinfulness, God, the only one who can actually see us, is the one who determines what happens to us after this life. And he's the one that can see it all right down inside of me. David, in the psalm, when he contemplates this about himself, this is what he says. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning. Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. As he's speaking to God. When he really thinks about his condition before God and that God knows it all, it's almost like God's heavy hands are just pressing down and crushing his chest with his guilt. About 7 years ago, off of the coast of South Korea, there was a large ferry boat that tipped over, and there were close to 300, about 300 people that ended up drowning inside, encased inside of this ship that could not get out. One of them was about a 21-year-old young man, and he took out his cell phone and began texting his parents. And he texted to them. The first thing he wanted to say was, please forgive me for all the things I've done wrong against you in my whole life. There's a sense inside of us when we realize we have to face God, that this stuff that we've been hiding in us can become very oppressive and very heavy. You know, police work, they often try to do interrogations in such a way and set things up in such a way to kind of coerce or coach a confession out of somebody. But every once in a while, somebody just walks into the police station because they can't take it. Their conscience is just burning inside of them with something they've done, and they just have to get it off their chest. They can't hide it anymore. The God who sees right through me and right through you tonight, through my sinful mouth, calls on you to stop hiding. Stop hiding what's inside of you. Stop hiding your guilt from him and just bring it bare and naked to him. Confess it. Just get it out. Acknowledge it. Just dump it in front of him. And he invites you to do that tonight because of what's going on in the middle panel of this painting. He has been so gracious, so kind, to send his son to make atonement for all of that guilt that's burning in your conscience and all the things you've even forgot about that you've done against God and other people. He has sent his son to atone for every single bit of that guilt. Think about it. This all-knowing God is the only one who really knows you. In fact, he knows you better than you know yourself. There are sins you've forgotten about. He could easily come up with a list of those if he wanted. This is the only being that really knows you, and he still loves you. He still wants to have a relationship with you. He still wants you to be his child. He still decided to put his name on you in your baptism. He still decides to feed you with the body and blood of his son so you know your sins are forgiven. He knows everything about you. He doesn't run away like everybody else might in your life if they really knew the truth. He knows your truth, and he's still here. He still comes to you. He still speaks his grace to you. He still speaks his forgiveness to you, his compassion and his tenderness, despite knowing it all. Many years ago, there was a woman in my congregation I was serving who had a number of children, and one of them had kind of run away from home and just abandoned the family. And any time I would talk to her, she loved all of her children, but that was the one that was burning on her heart the most. That was the one that she wanted to always talk about the most, hoping to restore that relationship. If that's how a sinful, fallen mother can be toward a child that's fallen away, that kind of love and compassion and forgiveness comes from a God. The very God that can create that and has that same grace and mercy and compassion toward you 1,000 times greater than even that. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Just take that into your ears and your heart tonight, down into the deepest part of you that maybe nobody else knows about. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. And because of that, you are a holy saint before God. You are righteous in his eyes. You are deserving of heaven. David says it so beautifully. Blessed is he or she whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. That is you. Amen.
Thank you.
Abide with us, Lord, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Abide with us and with your whole church. Abide with us in the end of the day, in the end of our life, and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity.